Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Crossover Sports Illustrated's NBA show. Breaking down the latest news, rumors, and everything in between. Here's your host, Rohan Adkamia.
Welcome back to another episode of the Crossover Podcast. I'm Rohan Adkamia, joined today by the former host of the Open Floor Podcast. He's a senior staff writer at The Ringer, Michael the Pod Pina. Mike, how's it going?
I am doing terrific, Rohan. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, just trying to suss out what you got going on in the background there. Mike's got a blurred background for the first time in the history of all our podcasts. And I can only imagine what you're hiding.
I explained this to you before we started recording. I did not make my bed. It's a messy bed in the background. That's the only reason. I didn't want to keep you, you know, waiting before we started recording. I know you're a busy guy.
You woke up immediately before the podcast. All right, Mike, I just want to run through basically as many teams as possible today. I know you're watching as many games as you can, and I want to hit as many teams as we can. But I'm going to throw them at you in the form of some buy or sells, if that works for you. And we're going to start in the Eastern Conference. Just we're going to rip hot right off the jump here. All right, Mike, buy or sell? The Sixers are currently the best team in the East.
Like currently?
Yes.
Like today?
As of this moment. I'm not talking about record. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just vibes, feels, talent, etc.
I'd have to buy. I would have to buy. They're playing great. They just beat the Celtics, who technically have a higher net rating, but and that, you know, that game could have gone either way, etc.
Could it have?
Kristaps Porzingis wide open three.
It was also
with five seconds to go.
It was also like a 13-point game with 2 minutes left, and it took like a very.
I said I'm buying.
Okay, but then you immediately started caveating it very quickly.
I'm buying.
Bought it very skeptically.
I love. I think Nick Nurse's impact is pretty transparent to anyone who's watched this team play. Their offense, ball movement, pace, all that sort of stuff. Tyrese Maxey looks really good. One player of the week in the opening week of this year. Player of the month, whatever. Player of the week? I don't even know. Whatever. He's been really awesome. Averaging just all-star numbers and efficient shooting splits, and he looks really great.
He is him, Luka, and Jokic are the only guys, I think, at like 25, 5, and 5 right now, or 27, something crazy. It's just those three guys. I got to look up what it is.
Didn't know that. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
But, well, oh, you said Embiid. Never mind. I was looking at Embiid as averaging 31, 11, and 6. Just, yeah, he's having
It might be 25, 5, and 7 assists a game, I think is what it is. I got to look up what it is. But it's crazy. He's been incredible.
He's been really good. I wrote a piece right after they traded Harden, and it was basically the gist of it was that this team might not be in a rush to make an in-season trade with the draft capital that they got. I think that there's a few reasons why that is, but like one of them is it's just really hard to find a third star. People are just like, oh, they're going to trade for a third star. It's like, okay, well, who? And the names that you kind of see that are here getting bandied around the league don't really make a lot of sense to me. Guys who are on contracts and, like, for example, the hot name has been Zach LaVine, and I don't see that at all. So what I wrote was basically, like, they got pieces that are, like, really sensible in the type of how they want to play. They complement the two stars. I love Nick Batum. I wish Ty Lue played him more over the past couple of years. Rocco's really good in particular roles, and this is one of those roles, I would imagine.
They can close with Maxey, Rocco, Batum, Tobias, and Embiid, and that's a fantastic closing lineup. Tobias has been really good in a contract year. I didn't understand some of the discussion around the Harden trade. Like, people were like, Philly got cooked. Like, they didn't get a star. They didn't get what they said they were going to get. And, like, at this point, Harden was never going to play for this team again. And they turned someone who wasn't in the rotation into multiple, like, playoff rotation pieces. To me, that's a home run trade anytime you can make it. I think if they're going to trade for someone, it doesn't need to be a star. Like, this player gets talked about a lot, whether he's a star or whatever, it's semantics, but like, I'd much rather have OG Anunoby as my third guy than Zach LaVine for a multitude of reasons. Like, he might not be as much of a shot creator, but he does, I think, enough if you put the ball in his hands, but more importantly, great defender, would be fantastic, I think, playing off Embiid. And if they don't trade for him, they can sign him in the summer because they maintained all their cap space in this deal. I've been really impressed with them. Embiid currently averaging a career high in assists. I think he's over 6 assists a game. And his turnovers haven't gone up. That's really impressive. He's still not great with the doubles. Like, it was kind of incredible to watch Boston guard him with Jrue Holiday in that game and just know that they can send a double if he gets good post position. First of all, he couldn't really get good post position against Holiday, which was infuriating to watch. But then beyond that, they could still send a double. I've just been really impressed with them, and I'm with you. I don't think they need to rush to get, like, a LaVine type, unless you can get Anunoby for 2 firsts and, you know, Marcus Morris and another expiring. Like, I think they're in great shape. I mean, I think they've been unquestionably more impressive than Milwaukee so far.
Well, I mean, how many teams do you want
to
list?
We'll get to the Bucks. We'll get to the Bucks.
The Orlando Magic look really impressive. Like, come on. Like,
that was a nice game against the Hawks last night. But in all seriousness, it's early. But do you feel better about this Philly team in terms of them making their first conference finals ever? Or, because I know deep down you're an absolute Embiid hater. how do you feel about this team's prospects as currently constructed?
We're not even at Thanksgiving.
There's no statute of limitations on takes, Mike.
As currently constructed, I just said I like a lot of elements of this team. I like their depth. They can shoot. I'm a little skeptical of Kelly Oubre continuing to be like Reggie Miller, but
what's happening in the NBA though? That listen, I'm not like a huge Kelly Oubre fan, but a minimum for him. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that was weird. I'm not gonna lie. It's kind of like, remember when he went to the Golden State Warriors and basically
missed his first 33s or whatever?
Yeah, and just like the, I guess the talk or buzz or whatever, there was like a stink to him after that because he couldn't fit into that system, and that's like winning basketball. So I think that might have just hurt his reputation or whatever, but he did average like 20 or something close to that last season in a losing situation.
I was covering a Sixers-Hornets game in Charlotte once, And Oubre like went off that night, and after the game, Doc Rivers was like, "I was hoping we'd get the Golden State Oubre tonight," which was just hilarious.
But I like Philly, and they do have flexibility. Like, I don't know if they have enough to get OG in a trade.
What do you think the OG price is going to be, or do you think he just ends up back in Toronto?
I mean, if you're Toronto. First of all, like, they clearly want to be competitive. They mm-hmm. are competitive. Pascal's the guy who's kind of like if I were Masai, I'd obviously want to keep OG over Pascal for a variety of reasons. And just seeing Pascal fit into their new offense has been a little awkward and clunky at the mm-hmm. start, although he did have a pretty good game against the Dallas Mavericks recently.
Yeah.
But I just think if you're going to trade, like, the only reason you trade OG is if you got a clear indication that he's not going to resign, even though you have his bird rights and you can technically offer him more than anybody else and you have an advantage there and an inside track. But I feel like he should be, like, if they stay competitive, I don't know why you would trade OG and an OB. And if you did, the price would be, I think, a little higher than what the Sixers can offer. Yeah.
The irony is Siakam's another guy that Philly could theoretically go out and target, except I don't think him and Nurse are, like, you know, dying to reunite necessarily.
Yeah, that would be a tough one. Like, for me, it's just like, you know, I threw out some names. Like, if I was Philly, I would just really, and I think Daryl is doing this, but he's really prioritizing his cap space. So that's like, reason number, I think LaVine is kind of a losing player, so that's reason number one I wouldn't trade for him. But reason number, well, I mean,
reason number Caruso. Yeah.
I literally would, but yeah. Reason number two is he's on this long-term contract that's really hard to move, and so that would just kind of kill all your cap space. And one of the benefits of the Harden trade was getting off of PJ Tucker's money, as you know, and that player option.
How dare you? You take
love
that
PJ
back.
Tucker, love PJ Tucker, but that was a huge part of that deal, a huge benefit for the Philadelphia 76ers and what they wanted to do. So for me, it's like if I were to make a trade, it would be for someone who's on an expiring. So if we're talking star level, I would rather have DeMar instead of LaVine. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, honestly, if you're Philly, you should be feeling really optimistic about just an opportunity to like sell yourself to potential free agents or potential like stars on big contracts who could be unhappy. Like I don't know how you feel about, say, a Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell backcourt, but like that's something out there that could be a possibility. Ideally, I think you'd want a bigger wing, and so someone like Brandon Ingram could be traded for. There's your guy, you know, if Jimmy Butler saw it was so disgusted with what they did in the paint, what they painted in his home court, and he was like, "I can't play here anymore every night. I don't want to live in this city." Like, that's the type of contract that you could absorb.
Jimmy Butler told me the only other basketball team he'd be willing to play for is like in the Brazilian league.
Okay.
He said, "I don't want to wear another jersey unless it's like in Brazil." So,
Okay. Well, yeah. That's just a pie in the sky, but a possibility of it. Just it more speaks to just like their options and their flexibility if you have the cap space. So, but right now today, I'm buying that they're the best team for sure.
I've just been overall really impressed with them, especially with the Harden stuff dragging into the season. And I thought the first half of that Milwaukee game, I was like, Embiid looks checked out. Is this going to go south really quickly? They play incredible in the second half. And I've just been, they've been really good. And it's funny to me that people are like, you got to give Milwaukee time. Like, Milwaukee swapped out one guy. Okay, now granted, it was like a pretty big deal swapping Drew for Dave, and we'll get there in a second. But like, they act like Milwaukee's the only team incorporating a new player into the rotation or something like that. And it's like, yo, what? Philly also has a new coach. They've been dealing with way more drama. Like, I've been really impressed with their start. This isn't on my list, but I want to ask you real quick, like, just pro or anti the Harden trade for the Clippers?
Pro.
I'm pro, too. I don't, again, people are like, I heard people say, like, this is not going to, like, help you beat the Nuggets, or like you got to try. Also, the last guy I've seen have any measure of success guarding Jokic one-on-one was somehow PJ Tucker in that Sixers-Nuggets game last year. I'm not saying that he can do it for a full playoff series, but...
He can't.
It would. I think that would be an interesting matchup if both teams were at full strength.
Can I just say, if I was the Clippers, the person I would be putting on Nikola Jokic is Kawhi Leonard.
I think I'd put Tuck on Jokic and have Leonard on Gordon so he can roam.
Or what I would do, okay, that's a fine idea. Or what I would do, I would put Kawhi on Jamal Murray so I can switch that pick and roll and completely neutralize it. That's like what
I don't know. A lot of teams have tried the we're going to switch that pick and roll and completely neutralize it and have in fact not neutralized it.
Hey, there's only one Kawhi Leonard, baby.
I thought the Heat were in decent position switching Jimmy and Bam on the Murray Jokic pick and roll, and it was like, nope.
Jimmy's great. Jimmy's not Kawhi, but
I agree. Listen, we'll get to Jokic, but there's no one guarding him one-on-one at the end of the day.
That is true.
Okay, let's move on to the Bucks. Let's keep the takery going. Buy or sell, the Damian Lillard trade made the Bucks worse.
I'm buying that.
Ooh, let's go. Let's get some masala right off the jump here. You know what? I thought they'd hit the ground running, and it's so funny because we spent like, you know, I guess it was not months because the trade happened so soon before the season, but we were like, everyone and their grandmother was like the Giannis Dame pick and roll, unstoppable. And it's like they run four a game, and like none in the fourth quarter. It's like, what's going on? What have you made of the experience so far?
I mean, the offense is whatever. Like, I'm sure they'll figure it out. They're eighth right now. They're not spamming the Dame Giannis pick and roll, and you know, I'm sure there's like reasons for that or whatever. Like, I'm sure Chris Middleton will hopefully look better and healthier and all that. Like, you're not like you're like, look, okay, so I know I'm being optimistic about the offense, but like I will say that Dame's statistical profile right now is almost identical to what he was 2 years ago when he had like the core abdominal injury and he was just terrible and people were starting to wonder if he was on a decline in his career.
His counting stats are lower than Tyler Hero's currently, which is just funny. It's just humorous.
Yeah, and he's shooting below 30% from behind the 3-point line. That won't stay like that, and he's getting to the free throw line, which is great. But like last year, he was like
best year.
The best. I mean, there's catch all statistics and metrics that had him as literally the best offensive player in the NBA. That's the type of season he had. He doesn't look like that at all so far. And they have time, so I'm not really worried about the offense. I think the defense is kind of like. The offense has to work because the defense is not something that will ever work. I don't have any faith in that. It looks like a team that needs to make a trade, honestly. The personnel, I don't think that this defense can be corrected and fixed with who is there. And they don't have anything to trade. So
unless it was like Brooke Lopez, which would be a major sea change for them.
Fundamentally alter who you are. Yeah. That would be really tough. And he's not as good. He hasn't been as good as he was last year, but he's still a beast down low. And a real, deterrent at the rim. But defensively they are, it's bad now. They're bad in transition. They're porous on the perimeter. They have just bad defenders all over the court. They're really small besides Giannis and Brooke. And when those guys are resting and they don't like stagger, like Adrian Griffin hasn't really gone out of his way to stagger those two either. So when they're both off the court, it's just like, oh my God, it's Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton and It's just it's a free for all. Like it's really Pacers, ugly stuff.
Pacers were lighting them up last night. Poor Malik Beasley. That clip is kind of going viral, I guess, of Halliburton pointing for the screen, Beasley thinking it's coming, and then Halliburton just blows right by him, and Beasley has just no idea what happened. But I'm with you. It's like it's not just Dame that can be kind of attacked on the perimeter because they're hiding Dame basically every night defensively, but it's like they start Beasley. Jay Crowder, I just don't think is a stopper anymore. I mean, I think he's a high effort defender, but it's not like Jay Crowder is shutting down guys on the perimeter.
I got news for you. He never was that his whole career. Like, he really wasn't.
He was never a lockdown guy, but I think he was better than what he is now. I think he's.
That is correct.
I think he was always a better kind of off-ball help defender, team defender than he was kind of a lockdown guy. Like, I thought he had some really good moments with the Suns. But, yeah, you're not putting Jay Crowder on the other team's best wing player and saying, okay, you're holding him to an inefficient night. I mean, yeah, man, it's it was wild watching them play the Pacers last night. I mean, obviously, they had Lillard out. Giannis goes off, but felt like Indiana was like the inside the three-point line is lava. We're shooting as many threes as possible. But, like, they were – like, the Bucks have tried the zone, and the zone, like, kind of helped them get back in the game a little bit. But, like, when have you seen the Bucks play freaking zone, man? Like, what's going on here? Like, they were giving up open corner three after open corner three. And, you know, one thing that was interesting is I interviewed Brooke Lopez last year in, you know, late November or something. And last year the Bucks had, I think, maybe their most impressive defensive season in the Bud era, just in terms of they limited three-point shooting a lot as well. Like, they always used to give up a ton of threes. And this time they were like, we're not giving up the rim and we're not giving the threes. And Brooke was like, you know, we changed our defensive principles. You know, our most important guy is now the guy navigating the screen. And, you know, they put a lot of work into figuring out how to stop opponents from shooting threes. And it just felt like all of that has gone out the window immediately. And even like this vaunted, like, hey, we switched Brooke Lopez back to drop. Everything's fixed now. Like, it hasn't worked.
No, I just think this change from the best perimeter defender to the worst is like pretty significant. Like, going from Drew, who, yeah, they could try to execute that strategy that you were mentioning before because they had Drew Holiday.
Exactly.
And so you're not putting Dame on other point guards and other lead guards and score first ball handlers because he just get absolutely roasted. Like, he dies on screens. He's not like Drew is either unscreenable or because he's so strong.
He'll be like, I'm not getting screened today.
Yeah. Or, you know, when you have to like switch or veer back or whatever, like, he can do that fine. He's one of the best defenders in the NBA. I just think like when you get to the playoffs, and people start matchup hunting, that's when it's just like, that's why it looks really bad now, but like whatever, they could still finish with the second, third, maybe first best record, like whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think they will, but when the playoffs come, that's when it's just like, I think you have to, get familiar with playing zone in the regular season because you're going to need something. You're going to need to do junk stuff in the playoffs with your personnel unless you really change things. They just don't have enough size on the perimeter. So much is riding on Chris Middleton to move like he did in 2021, and I don't think that guy is coming back. So, I think they're in a lot of trouble, and their offense should bounce back, and they'll look pretty good, and it'll get really exciting. And Giannis looks like an MVP candidate, even though in the last 3 minutes of that game against the Pacers, he was like
bunch
one of the
turnovers.
Worst.
It was
he was
crazy.
Awful. He was awful. Did you see? What did you think of his tweet?
I didn't. What did he say?
The tweet was like 54, 10, and 5, like his stats, and it was like, doesn't matter. Like, we've got a lot of work to do. It's like, oh my God.
That's really funny. Here's why I respect it. It's exactly what I would do in that situation. I would hype myself up. I would try to, like, thinking I was subtly hyping myself up.
He also, it was like the game after he got ejected.
Yeah. Well, the ejection was ridiculous. I mean, we don't need to rehash that. Everyone has the same opinion on it, but that was absurd.
So, yeah, I'm not really feeling the Bucks. I think that just defensively, they have a lot of questions, and I don't know if their person. I don't know if Adrian Griffin. People are really criticizing Adrian Griffin, and
it's a lot of pressure in his first year. And I like him; he seems like a great guy. It's a lot of pressure on him in his first year to deliver a championship team, and even the offense, as good as it's been at times, a lot of their late game possessions, man. And it's like that's why you get Lillard. I mean, he's bailed him out in a few games now, but
he won the opener. He won the Knicks game.
Yeah.
That's what he is, exactly.
Yeah. But I don't, you'd think it would look a little bit cleaner than it has on some of these late-game possessions.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on to the Boston Celtics.
Let's do it.
All right, Mike, buy or sell? This is the best Boston Celtics team of the 21st century.
I can't go there.
Okay, but this, listen, when they hung a $1.55 on the Pacers, bro, I'm still fascinated by how their top six is like unassailable. I'm just fascinated to see how it works long term. Like, can they last four playoff rounds? Because I think that's the only weakness here. I mean, dude, they've looked fantastic when those five guys have played together. Six guys, I should say.
Yeah, they didn't have Derek White for two games. Lost one of them to the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team
which we will get to. Yeah.
Okay, good, because they're really fun.
The Edwards Tatum back and forth was like,
it was great.
You know the boxing ref gif where he's just like watching the two guys punch each other? That was me. I was like, ooh. That was sick. That was truly sick.
It was. It was a really great game, and those two are just like, there's just...
All right, Mike, I'm tired. Let it out. I want to know how you feel about this Celtics team, bro. I don't want the, like, reasoned, you know, oh, I'm wearing my fancy sweater and I'm an adult Mike. I want to know, bro. How do you feel? Is this the year?
I think they look great. I think they're... I think they have the best starting five in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I think that... I will say that if I'm just looking at concerns, because it's early and I'm just kind of looking for what can throw this team off track. Yeah. You know, Horford's
had some shaky moments.
Horford looked a little... He looked his age in the Timberwolves game.
And the Sixers game was like the first time I felt like,
Yeah. Anthony Edwards was like kind of going at him, yeah. And that's where he was getting all of his... Just getting to his spots. No contests. No nothing. I think, you know, I would hope he'll be fine. He is pretty old, but they'll manage him throughout the season. Peyton Pritchard hasn't made a basket this season, which is a little troubling because he was like leading the preseason in scoring.
Only backup guard too.
That's difficult for them, and I think he will also be fine. But he's been kind of a shock, I would say.
Do you think he's missing Enes Kanter? Do you think that's Enes Freedom? Sorry,
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
good theory though, Rohan. That's why you make the big bucks. I think this team, like, I wrote about this really early on after the first like three games or whatever, like they rank like last in assist rate. They weren't driving the ball. They weren't passing on drives.
It's still very 3-point heavy.
I'm fine with that. It's just like, I would like, as the season goes on, to see them. I know they want to play faster and all that, but sometimes they get a little antsy in terms of, and that's some of that is Drew. And actually had a chance to talk to him about it and ask him about the walk-up threes, which he loves, but admitted that there's a time and a place for them and a time and a place when he should not be doing them. But I think Tatum has missed really, really good passes, like really like open teammates, I should say, passing opportunities, and has this, like, because there's so much space, and because he's in... Like, these guys are facing single coverage a lot because of Kristaps and there's an empty paint. Like, they're just seem more comfortable going one-on-one and isolating. And there's been great offenses that do that. Like, the 2021 Brooklyn Nets were basically just like, we're going to space and ISO and draw two and just get stuff out of that.
I mean,
and it's like, Go ahead. What do you want to say?
They did Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden.
Are any of those names better than Derek White? I don't know. Third in win shares per 48 right now.
Oh, my God, dude.
Just behind Embiid and,
this is what
and
I wanted.
Jokic?
This is what I wanted. I was waiting for this to come out.
No, but, like, I think it's unassailable. That's the starting five. Tatum has looked really good overall. Jalen's had some shooting performances.
And like, was it in the Sixers game where he had like 5 points late in the fourth and he hit a couple big shots down the stretch? The Brown thing is interesting because I think part of it is just there are a lot of mouths to feed now. And you do notice him just not having the ball as much.
Yeah, for sure. But that goes to, I think there's no pure quote-unquote point guard.
Right.
These guys just are... It's really early still, but there's something about their offense where it's just like they have elite shot making. So, like, sometimes they'll drop 150, even though... That game actually isn't, like, a really good example because of how the Pacers play defense.
Right. Which is they don't.
They don't, but they literally don't help. Literally, if you even watch that Bucks game, why do you think Giannis had 50 whatever?
And then finally they threw some doubles at him in the last 2 minutes and he turned it over two times.
Yeah. But there's just not a lot of it's really difficult to help off of KP and there's just so much space. I keep repeating myself here, but that's just kind of what I see with this offense. And you can still have like a lot of space and like get everybody else involved. Like anyone watch the Golden State Warriors play basketball ever? Like that ball, the ball's hopping. Like the Denver Nuggets, I know they have this really unique player, but they can space the floor and the ball hops.
Yeah.
Like, so I would just like to see a little less selfishness is too strong of a word, but more ball movement, more man movement within that five. in particular would be really cool. I just think that that's critical if they want to win the championship. They need to play together better.
Yeah, I'm just bracing myself for having to move back to Mumbai if the Celtics do pull it off this year. Not because I'd be upset about them winning, just because of how annoying you're going to be in all of your other cohorts in the media, Boston Media Mafia, Mannix. I don't need to name the names. You guys know who they are. They've been really good, though. I've been impressed. Yeah, man, if Porzingis can stay healthy deep into the playoffs, I'm very interested to see them. I'm excited for that first game they play against the Nuggets, especially, and I hope both those teams are at full strength. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move to the West. And speaking of the Nuggets, buy or sell, Nikola Jokic is going to win his third MVP this year.
Buy. Come on.
Bro, he's been...
He's ridiculous.
I think he's at a career high in points and rebounds right now, and he's still shooting over 60% from the field.
So what's really funny to me about that is there's this narrative that appears in the finals where...
Let him score, right?
Let him score.
The untrained eye.
Let him score. It was the strategy also, if you watch the Timberwolves-Nuggets game from last week, I think it was, mm-hmm. when the Timberwolves beat them wire to wire. That was, I mean, the Timberwolves, I don't want to say they originated the strategy, because Jokic has been in the NBA for a long time, and last season wasn't the first season. It was for some people, but that wasn't his first season in the NBA. They've talked about, I remember doing a story and talking to Chris Finch, and that was one of the things that they really wanted to emphasize in that series, because if Jamal Murray gets going, if Aaron Gordon gets going, they're just like, you can't do anything. You're just like, yeah. They're going to score on literally every possession, so, or get a good look on every possession. So that's the thing, because Jokic really wants to get everybody involved. So if you make him have to score, he will, and he'll do it efficiently, but limiting everybody else is kind of your best bet, I guess is the best way to put it. Plus, you make him and be engaged offensively and exert energy offensively, and the lesser effective parts of his game on the defensive end, he's just less mobile,
right.
Less active there. So that's kind of the thought process. So that's why he's averaging like 29, I think, is because teams are trying to adopt
that more
strategy.
One-on-one. I mean, the Warriors, we should talk about that game because it was fascinating to me. The Warriors were sending a lot of single coverage at him with Looney. And shout out to Kevon Looney.
Draymond didn't play in that game also.
He didn't. And Jamal Murray didn't either. But I think even the Warriors got to a point where they're like, we got to send a double. Because it's like he'll just score one-on-one three times in a row. And then you feel insane single covering him. But then it's like KCP layup.
Yeah. They sent their first double like 4 minutes in the first quarter, I want to say. Or a little, even little before that. And it was a wide open Michael Porter Jr. three that he made. You can't do it.
You can't. And, man, that Warriors game was really interesting because we got to see what I've wanted to see for a long time, which was, can Steph tire him out enough defensively to make him less effective on offense? And they had a couple classic Warriors possessions in a row. Denver put two on the ball. Curry hits the short roll. Short roll hits the baseline cutter. Dunk. Two possessions in a row. Then they put Jokic on Dario Saric. Saric makes the mistake of popping out to the three-point line, which I wouldn't do that against Jokic. You need a hard roll every time. Then they put Chris Paul in the game, and Jokic is hiding on Chris Paul, which was fascinating. At one point, Paul catches the ball on the right wing, isn't sure if he wants to attack, kind of a busted possession. Later, he takes like a pull-up three against drop. And this is fascinating to me at two levels. One, like, do you think there's a better team equipped to go at the Nuggets and the Warriors? And B, who do the Warriors close with if they're trying to avoid Jokic hiding on someone? Because I think they should have still put Paul into the screen and either forced a switch or something. But that was a fascinating game to me. And I think perhaps the most fascinating possible playoff matchup in the West.
I think, so what was your first question?
Who should the Warriors close with if they're trying to avoid Jokic hiding on someone?
Who should
or does it not even matter? Or do they just bring that guy into the screen anyway?
I think that you, in all likelihood, have Draymond at the five.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggins. It's so tough because
Wiggins has been bad this year.
Well, no, it's just I'm just thinking about, like, obviously Steph, Clay are your other two, but I'm thinking about, like, how big you want to be, because
the Nuggets are big.
It's, I mean, it's just like I need to worry about Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, he's been like so good at attacking mismatches since he got to Denver.
Yeah, so attack, like, there's a like attacking, you could attack the Denver's defense and try your best. Like, I think it's it acquit itself in the playoffs last year, I thought. I know that Steph is his own test, but I think even in that game, like, there are things you can do that, like, I know Draymond didn't play, but, like, bringing Jokic all the way up and then having size behind him. And, that, I like, I'm not – they have like, all these young, like, really long, athletic first and second year players on their team, too, who can kind of sop up minutes.
Boston's so good.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I do think – just yeah, I think your first question was which team matches up better with Denver. And – I think the Warriors could. I don't think they're big enough. I think that really matters. I think you'll get beat up on the glass.
I think they need Wiggins to be Wiggins because he was rebounding like a madman when they won the finals. And they need Kuminga, I think, to take a step because I don't think you can close with Chris Paul against that team.
You might be right. I really want to see Phoenix. I want to see Phoenix. I think that there's a lot of I like the actions that they've been running offensively, and we have only seen one game with Beal. We've seen no games with all three of them. But you just imagine there's these like sequences even in the last game against the Bulls where it's like KD and Beal interacting, but then the third guy in the corner is Okogie, for example. And I'm like, if that was Devin Booker, oh my, like, how do you stop this? You can't. We saw like a glimpse of it in the preseason, just these possessions where this offense is just like, so that's the team that I'm really interested in. If they can go small and manage to get stops.
I have no clue which two guys are involved in the Murray Jokic pick and roll for them.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean,
literally no idea. Okogie and Nurkic?
Akogi's been really good.
Fantastic. I mean, he's been good for a couple years now. I'm a fan of his.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, man, you're not stopping. It's like, whatever. Like, you're not stopping it, so it doesn't matter.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you noticed that the Nuggets, so like this year they've had a lot of success, and obviously Murray's out now. This year they've had a lot of success running handoffs with KCP. I mean, it's always been a good play for them, but they've leaned on that a lot late in games.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do a lot of straight Jokic-Murray pick and rolls anymore with Jokic as the ball handler. Like, not even a thing they did a ton in the playoffs last year. Like, they do a lot of handoffs. They do a lot of traditional ones, but just kind of disappeared for them a little bit, which makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, they won the title.
Yeah,
so,
of course. No, it's just, you know, a purely aesthetic thing.
Sure, yeah, and that's really difficult to guard. I want to see Phoenix. I don't know if they're necessarily, like, I want to see Phoenix. I want to see, like, I hope that the Clippers, like, can make this work right, so that they're, like, we get the actualized version of what they can be with all that talent. And there's so much time for them to do that. I thought Mason Plumlee's injury was, like, really devastating. We'll see if they can get another center. Like, there was reports about Daniel Tice, like, whatever. They need size regardless. Yeah. You're not playing Tucker at the five and
they've also committed to being a big team ever since, like, it's like Ty Lue's trying to beat the small ball allegations. And he's like, I'm always having a center on the court now.
Well, they just they can't rebound. Like, they can't do it. So, like, they're really reliant on, like, Russell Westbrook to crash the glass. And it's like, okay, cool. I went to both those games in New York, and it was
brutal. Brutal.
Like, James Harden, do you want to, like, touch somebody, please? So that's another team. I do think, like, the KP, getting KP for the Celtics is, like, really huge for that matchup. And just being able to go five out against the Nuggets is absolutely critical in a lot of ways. And defensively, there's so many different ways that you can bother that offense and muck them up. And I do think, like, you can disrupt their actions and then it might not matter because that's how talented their pieces are. It's like the 2017-2018 Warriors as an example. Like, they would play this beautiful game, but then when the Rockets were switching everything, it was like, okay, here's KD, this 18-footer. And he would make it. And it was like, okay. So I think Jokic
hit that elbow jumper with his eyes closed. It doesn't matter how good the contest is.
But if you can drop their offensive rating down from, like, 120 to 116, then you can win. So, those are the teams. I mean, Denver's, like, probably the favorite, I would say, right now, if I'm looking at the league.
They've been awesome.
They're great.
Let me bump to one more team here, then. Buy or sell, the Wolves will finish with a top three record in the West.
Do you read my stuff, Rohan?
No. I'm not trying.
I'm actually hurt by that quick retort.
I'm an Apple Music guy, so you know, I don't need a shout out to Tim Apple.
You showed me that's not a person. You showed me your phone at the finals a couple years ago, and it was, you were listening to Tidal, so don't even pretend like you're on Apple Music.
I'm not a Spotify
all about the clarity. You were telling me about the bits and all that stuff.
I'm an Apple and DraftKings guy.
What an existence.
What were we talking about? I thought you wrote about, who'd you write about?
Okay.
It wasn't the Wolves. Your most recent thing was on... Not on the Wolves. It was on.
It was on
Ben Simmons. You're not Ben Simmons.
Yeah, where's the Ben Simmons question? You don't have any Ben Simmons faith.
Not today.
Yeah, he's not playing tonight.
Okay. He's already ruled out for the Celtics game.
Yes, he's been ruled out. Okay. He's got a sore hip, allegedly. What was I going to say?
You said, have I been reading your stuff?
Oh, yeah. No. So I wrote a 20 increasingly bold predictions piece before the season started.
I read your bold predictions every year.
Okay. Well, one of them was, will the Wolves finish with a top three record in the Western Conference? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, did you get that literally from my column, and you were like, no, like, fuck off, I don't read your stuff.
You just use that column every year to sneak in a trade to try to blow up the Miami Heat. Last year it was Jimmy Butler, this year it's Bam Adebayo. And who is it going to be next year?
What did you think about that trade?
Next year it's going to be Pat Riley and Spo.
What did you think about that trade?
Bam Adebayo for Embiid one?
Yeah, I think I would actually like cut the draft compensation down maybe significantly, but
here's what I'll say.
Fundamentally, Bam and Duncan for Embiid, and I guess there would be like a first going to Philly.
Here's what I'll say. Is I think Embiid is the one guy, Jimmy. My read kind of over the summer was like, yes, Jimmy would have loved to play with Damian Lillard. I don't think he was like calling Pat Riley every day and saying like, hey man, you got to get this trade done. Hey man, you got to get this trade done. I think if Embiid were on the trade market, that's a guy Jimmy would really want to play with. And I think there'd be a split, honestly. Because when you hear Spo talk about Bam, when you see the light in his eyes talking about Bam and all the things that he means to Spo. I mean, they named him a captain this year. He's the only other captain they've had other than Udonis Haslem now in the last 20 years or whatever. He means a lot, I think, to the day-to-day people. I'm not saying he doesn't mean that to Pat Riley. But, you know, I think Pat would be slightly less sentimental about it.
Are you closer to the title? That's the question.
I think it brings you closer. It's one of those classic, like, do we shorten our window to like 2 years kind of trades? And because
What is the window now? Like,
I think the thought there is if we've Bam for the next 8 or 9 years of his career, once Jimmy's contract is done, we can then work on the next iteration of building a team around Bam. See if we can get another star of Jimmy's caliber in. Whereas if you get Embiid, then it's like we're here through the end of Jimmy's contract, and that's that. Because then Embiid's going to be in his mid-30s with a history of knee injuries as a 7-footer. I think it brings them closer, to be honest. I know that Jimmy loves Embiid, but I have no idea what the organization would do. I really don't. But it's definitely something that's like, it's on the radar.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, both teams would have to be like just depressing as all hell, like, yeah, to consider this. Like, and neither one has been. Mm-mm. The Sixers are on top of the world.
You know what I really want to see is Adam Silver get out of your Skims and have Bam Adebayo and Jaren Jackson Jr. just switch places for a week in January, 2 weeks even. I just want to see it. Just let me see what happens if they switch places for 2 weeks. Once Ja comes back and the Grizzlies are fully healthy.
Are you getting spicy right now?
I'm just fascinated.
Did you not like the beating that Jaren Jackson was giving Bam in that game?
Did you get the box scores flipped? Because I think Bam had 30 and got to the free throw lines, like 16 game? Free throws.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah, he almost fouled Jaren Jackson Jr. out.
No, Bam was no. That's not what happened at all. But no, we can. that's not what happened in that game. That's
absolutely what happened in that game.
Jaren was bringing it to him.
Bam,
no answers.
Was bringing it to him. He had 30.
Bam was getting wide open pull up jumpers that they were giving him because they would rather guard Duncan Robinson on back cuts for the entire basketball game. That was a strategic decision because they were just like, Bam is afraid to shoot. We saw him at the end of that Lakers game.
Here we go. We saw him at the start of that Lakers game hit that pull up three.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
I don't know what the Heat would do in a Bam Embiid thing. I definitely think it's like on the radar if Embiid were to ever ask out. I don't think Jaren Jackson Jr. is better than Bam, but the Heat's half court offense is so bad and they take so many long twos that having someone at that position who can stretch the floor would just be interesting. And I would like to see that.
For the record, I do not think that Jaren Jackson Jr. is better than Bam, and I think that it would be, I get what you're saying, but Jaren Jackson Jr. is not like Kevin Durant out
there. Yes, agreed. I just
so I don't think it would matter personally. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I think Bam's offensive, like, I think he's really comfortable with what he is, and I think like what he is like really awesome on offense.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think everybody needs to shoot threes. I don't think that.
Okay, so we were supposed to talk about the Timberwolves.
Yeah, let's go.
Will they finish with the top three record in the West? I mean, they've been unreal, and they didn't even have McDaniels to start the year. Since he's come back, their defense has gone up to another level. We talked about Edwards versus Tatum the other night. I mean, Ant has been sick. It was hilarious in that Celtics game that as soon as Karl Towns fouls out, the Wolves go on a run. What do you make of them so far? Can they finish with the top three record in the West? Should they trade Kat to open up more minutes for Naz Reid?
I think they totally can finish top three in the West. I think their defense is real, even though they've had the most luck in terms of opposing three-point percentage. Mm-hmm. But this is all like a 7 or 8 game sample size, right. So I don't know how much that is real. Maybe none of it. So I think the defense is like so legit and could finish first, and it wouldn't shock anyone. Jaden McDaniels is incredible. Can't be screened. That's like a huge thing. So like when the Celtics were hunting whoever they wanted to hunt in that game with Tatum or whoever Jaden was on, Jaden would stick to him. Like mm-hmm. he's not switching off ball just because you set a back screen. Like right. he's sticking to his assignment.
I hate the lazy switching, man. I hate it.
Yeah, I touched on that in my Simmons. I know you're going to read it later. You're probably going to print it out.
Yeah,
but I touched on that in my
for sure. yeah.
Ben Simmons piece about the Nets and their switch. They just, let's switch because they set a screen. Got to do it. Yeah. Cam Thomas on Luka. Let's do it. But no, I think the defense is for real. I think Edwards is like a menace on ball defensively. So good. Off ball falls asleep from time to time, but they have so much size and length and like just knowledge and experience. And like guys like Kyle Anderson is just like this linchpin figure who's overlooked, but he's
just
so
Memphis
important.
Memphis letting him go, man. Like
Memphis let a lot of people go. And, yeah.
I was kind of half joking about Kat. I mean, first and foremost, shout out to Naz Reid, who got injured late in the year last year and missed their play-in game. And I think they beat the Lakers if he's healthy. Also, if McDaniels doesn't break his hand punching a wall. Is there a guy they could trade Kat for that would make more sense than having him on this current roster?
I mean... There are different types of players who might make more sense, but the way I view Kat, like, I see him as more of a variable than a negative. I think that...
I agree. It's a wild card more than, like, he's hurting the team.
Like, because he says on a podcast that what his team did was more impressive in the postseason than the Denver Nuggets winning the championship. Like, because he says that is, like, really foolish. But it also has, like, no relationship to, like, when he pops out for a three-pointer.
Sure,
and, like,
sure.
It's like, oh, that clown said that thing on that podcast, so I'm not going to go guard him. We're gonna clog the paint tonight. Like, that's really not what happens.
Of course. The jokes aside, I think it's more about Gobert looks like Pete Gobert this year.
He looks good.
And I think it's more about the fit, the amount of money they have invested between Gobert, Kat, McDaniels, and Reed is a lot.
That's a long term thing though. And
right.
to be clear, like like I am obviously joking when I call this like the last dance for the Minnesota Timberwolves. but like that's like what it is.
It's gonna be hard to keep the team together for sure.
Oh, I think it will be like impossible.
Conley's expiring now too, I believe. Like
I think it'll be basically impossible to keep. Like I'm not saying you have to trade Kat, but to keep Ant, Jaden, Rudy, and Kat and Naz Reid is just that's kind of prohibitive to the CBA.
Unless they're ready to be, unless A-Rod's ready to be a second apron pair.
I don't think that is in the cards based on all the reports about their ability to, like, make the the timing of the payments and like the deadlines. And so anyway, yeah, I like this team a lot. I do think that, like, I think you can win with Cat. I think that you can win with him in this role particularly. Like, he's obviously not the best player on the team anymore. He's not the first option in crunch time. But he's working on defense. Like, his defense on Jokic in that game was really good. He did a great job balancing physicality with discipline. Didn't foul. It just was tough and forced a lot of tough because he's a huge person.
Yes. Like,
and
the
so
size, there's something you said about the size they have between McDaniels, Cat, and Gobert.
Yeah. And I think he's like a matchup issue on both ends. But there are situations where, like, okay, you want to switch this. Like the Nuggets in that game, you know, they were switching the pick and roll and putting Murray on Cat. And it's like, Cat was just like, okay, I'm just going to like go to work right now and back you down and either get to the free throw line or like shoot over your head. And he had a lot of success. So I think that as the season goes along, him becoming more and more comfortable in that secondary role will be like, he hasn't shot the ball really well, but when he gets back up over 40% behind the 3-point line, I just think their offense, which is like 18th or 19th now, like they could be a top 10 offense easily and the best defense. So that is a championship contender
for
to
sure.
Me. And
that might be also the sneaky most. I mean, you've been one of the people to say this. You thought they played the Nuggets the best in the playoffs last year. That might also be the most interesting playoff matchup again.
With Jaden. Jaden
yeah,
did not
Jaden.
Play.
Agreed. Yeah, with
Jaden.
It was huge.
Going from Nikhil Alexander-Walker on Jamal Murray to Jaden McDaniels, that's a huge difference.
Who's also like got more energy offensively than Nikhil Alexander-Walker, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Celtics game, their strategy was like, we're putting Porzingis on you, and Porzingis is going to be in the paint. And Jaden went like 5 for 9 from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
So can't leave him open. He's shot over 40% behind the arc before. I love this team. I love them.
It's a lot of fun to watch. They're like a old school court with the lighter blue and like the jerseys that just say Wolves on them on the front. Outstanding. Crowds into it every game. It's been a lot of fun. I want to close real quick with a little bonus question here. But what's been the most fun part about the Lakers' struggles early this season for you? As someone who has endeared yourself to the Los Angeles community over the last couple years, is it Reeves looking like not a bargain contract anymore? Is it Reeves looking like an overpay? None of the role players that they acquired in the Westbrook trade making an impact? Granted, Vanderbilt is hurt. In all seriousness, your quick thoughts on the Lakers' start so far?
You know, it's a big bag of I told you so. You know, like, I just never thought that they were in the same category as all these other really great teams in the Western Conference, and was never completely sold on their the run that they made after the trade deadline last year, the run that they made in the playoffs. Like, it was never really bought in. Like, there's just a lot of worrisome things in terms of their statistical profile, inability to be efficient in half-court offense. I like their size for sure, but when your size is like not good, then that's not what you want.
I will say the Wood, AD, LeBron, Christian Wood lineups working as well as they have, granted in an insanely small sample size, is wild. It's just a fascinating development.
Someone should track the possessions where Christian Wood screws up on defense, and then you look at LeBron on the court and his body language where he like looks up at the ceiling or looks at the floor. Like, can we get like advanced NBA.com/advanced stats?
The Jokic Michael Porter Jr. from 2 years ago. I agree that exists, but also it's like, they're like, Christian Wood, go guard KD. And then it's like, wait, why is this working? it's been a real mixed bag. I do think, Like, I'm on Reeves' watch. Like, what's going on here? Like, he's looked like a complete shell of who he was in the postseason last year when I think he was playing fantastic. They are, the fact that it's year 21 and they just still completely fall apart when LeBron is off the floor. It's like, how is this still happening? Like, they were, I think, a minus 37 net going into Tuesday with LeBron off the court.
Oh, he has the widest on-off point differential in the NBA right now.
Yeah, LeBron's got the widest point differential. It feels like it's year 12 for him. I like to think they could turn it around a little bit, though, but like, I easily think the Warriors, Wolves, Nuggets, Suns, Clippers are going to be better than them.
Yeah, like, the phrase turn it around, like, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like, I wrote a column before the season started about why I didn't think that the Lakers were going to be very good. And
just doubling down on your hate after the last trade deadline.
It's just, it's facts. Like, yeah. it's like, this guy's really old, and we're 6 games into the season, and we're complaining about, like, calls to the league office and like leaking that information. Like, what are we doing? Come on. Brutal. Like, his brutal free throw attempts have been in decline for years now. You know, his 2-point percentage is amazing. He's still really good in transition, but like, it's amazing to see some of the plays that he makes. The chase down blocks are still like a thing, which is just, it's remarkable. Like, I'm not trying to ever take anything away from LeBron. I just think like the team around him, there's a lot of players who are one dimensional or one way, or like, frankly, have never established themselves as knowing how to contribute towards winning. So, like, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura. Like, these are, like, names that all of a sudden people were like, oh, these are you kidding? It's like, there's a difference, in my opinion, between talented and good. And these players, like, personify it in a lot of ways. And so, But, like, do you disagree? Am I being, like, harsh?
No,
like,
I just love that.
What is the track record of D'Angelo Russell like?
I should have brought this team up first if I knew you were going to bring all this heat, all this masala on the Lakers. I should have known this was what it would take to get you brought up. I don't disagree. It's going to be very interesting to see how their season plays out. They're already dealing with an AD injury now. The Rockets absolutely smacked them up. Yeah,
but by the way, the Rockets are literally, like, they have the best transition defense in the NBA, which is amazing, and Ime Udoka is doing a great job. But it's like, if we just get back on defense, how is this team going to generate? I know AD didn't play in that game, but it's like, how is this team going to generate offense? Yeah. It's like, oh, they can't do it. It's like, cool, championship contender. Like, people, call me a hater, but I'm just looking at the numbers of them like ranking 24th in half court offense after the trade deadline. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that should be a thing that we pay attention to going forward. call me crazy. I don't know.
On that note, that's going to do it for today's episode. Apologies to Shelby. I guess we ran out of time for a Rip City Royston report today. Maybe next time.
I can Mike do 20 on Shaedon Sharpe. I love Shaedon Sharpe. He's incredible.
They've had some moments. Shout out to, unfortunately, Robert Williams out for the year. But yes.
Very sad.
The Blazers have some moments. We'll have to bring him back up. Mike, thank you for joining again. Senior staff writer at The Ringer. You guys know where to find his work. If any of it's good, make sure to send it to me so I can check it out. One of these days.
Thanks, Rohan. Love you. This was fun. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, buddy.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.